Man, look, I think I think Norm has just donated his phone for you. It's a blessing. You think so?
Yes,
no, I don't know if we'll steal that. I'll give that back, Norm, before I forget. He wants to trade it, but I don't want to waste any more time because we've had a beautiful time this morning, and I love hearing this man. He's such a great teacher of the word. You know, we've got an amazing evangelist in Matt. You know, I think I've been saved, born again 24 times in this church because we've got such an amazing man. He's a great guy, and we love Matt. Isn't it great as well to have someone who can come in and get deep into the word like Chris? And and I'm looking forward to it. So I'm just going to hand over to Pastor Chris to share the word. Amen.
Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All the glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm excited today. Yeah. I won't say fasten your seat belts and prepare for takeoff because I want you to take off. If you've got your seat belts on, you'll be restrained. So you want to jump up halfway through and shout hallelujah or get down on your knees and cry. We might do something a little different. We might pray during the message also because there are some key points that we're going to access. There's a lot of ground to cover. So we're going to get into it right away. Amen. And someone's going to give me a big T when we hit 11:30. That means keep going. Ignore the time. That's what that means. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Revival. Revival. Hallelujah. Everyone knows what it is, do we? Who's experienced revival? About half a dozen of us. Revival's a little bit like a brain surgeon. Everyone kind of knows what it is, but no one really wants to meet one. Or few of us have. Okay? But some people would ask, is revival a biblical concept? Is it a New Testament, Old Testament concept? Or is it something that's just a catchword of the new evangelical or charismatic movement? I'm going to answer this from the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. Who loves the Old Testament? Some people, they think the Old Testament was for the Jews, and it's passé. But the New Testament says these things were written for our instructions upon whom the ends of the earth have come. The ends of the world have come upon the church, and the Old Testament was written for the church. Hallelujah. In Psalm 85:6, it says, "Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?" I felt this morning that revival had started to break out in our midst. Who had felt that? I had felt that, you know, it's good to have an order of service and everything must be done in decency and in order, but let's not forget that everything must be done. Decency and order is not the main thing. Everything must be done is the main thing. And the schedule, that's what you do unless God leads otherwise. Someone's not going to like me for saying that, but when someone stands up and prays and another person gets a prophecy and a couple of people said a couple of key words that are in my message. One was go during the communion message. What's go got to do with communion? Possibly not much, but that was a key word that's going to come through the text today. And there was something else shared earlier on that I can't remember. But praise God, I knew at the time that that was another key thing, and the Lord echoes and resounds and resonates with us when we're on the right track. We find that every time I stand up, half of my sermon's been preached by the people that went before. Isaiah 57:15 says, "Thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." We're going to get to this in a minute, but one of the key elements of revival, one of the keys of revival is humility. When you have a contrite spirit, it's not a word that we use today very much, but on boxes of chalk, it used to say contrite. In other words, easy to be broken. Fragile, that's what contrite means. When we have a lowly and fragile heart, that means when we're humble, when we're wounded, when we're lowly, when we're afflicted, we're in a position that God can revive us. And God wants to revive us today. I sat there just a minute ago, and I don't know what it is about that particular position, but I got the fan and I thought, wow, God's Spirit's going to blow through here today. And he's going to take away the rubble and take away the chaff. And he's going to bring his fire in to invigorate our church. Invigorate our church. The Lord is holy and lifted up. You know, we're familiar with Jesus. And it's okay to know Jesus as your friend and your buddy. But you never forget that our God is a consuming fire. And there's a sense in revival where we see the awesomeness of God, where we see the majesty of God. As someone said this morning in a prayer or a prophecy, sovereign, sovereign. God is sovereign. That means he has the right to reign. He has the majestic right to reign because he is God. Hosea 6, 1 to 3, one of my favorites. Come and let us return to the Lord. He has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. And after 2 days he will revive us. And on the third day he will raise us up that we may live before him. Now, if you take that to heart, something's going to happen in your life on Tuesday and Wednesday. I want you to stand up and testify next week because there's no point in reading this unless we believe it, unless we take that bull by the horns, unless we run with it. Who's going to run with it today? Who's going to say, I'm on God's side. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care about the rest of y'all, although I love you with all my heart, but I'm going to follow God. In Jesus' name, I'm going to follow God. Amen. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. He's going out as sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. Who knows what you need that in Australia today? We need showers. We need spring rains. Not just the rain coming down from heaven. That's a blessing of God. We had the hottest November and everyone was thinking, oh, November was so hot. December and January are going to be even hotter. But no, they weren't. They were cold. That's not global warming. That's God's blessing. God wants us to be cool. God wants us to be rained upon. God sends his rain on the just and the unjust, on everybody. God's blessing doesn't depend upon your goodness, although holiness is a good thing. Holiness and the fear of the Lord is a good thing. It's not on my notes, but there are other keys to revival. And in the history of revival, we hear that before revival breaks out, there's an expectancy of revival. There's a desire for revival. And then that's followed by prayer and unity in the church. And then what happens is great numbers of people are getting converted. And then social transformation follows. Who'd like to see Australia transformed into the kingdom of God? I would like to see Australia transformed into the kingdom of God. The first time, I'm just going to mention something, but I won't mention the name of the place. Some of you may know. But the first time I went to that place, I reached my hands up toward that place, and I said, I pray that this place become the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And we have about half a dozen people from that place today. Because when you say prayers, bold and dangerous prayers, daring prayers, prayers that are according to the will of God, who said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want God's will to be done on earth as in heaven. Everyone in heaven knows Jesus. I want everyone on earth to know Jesus. Everyone in heaven is healed. I want everyone on earth to be healed. No one in heaven is demon-possessed or afflicted or oppressed. I want that to be my state on earth today. And the state for everyone in this church. And the state for every community you live in. Every neighborhood you live in. Every building you live in. We'll get to that in a minute. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited. You didn't tell, did you? No, I didn't think so. I remember seeing a documentary called Transformations done by George Otis Jr. He's the son of the grandson of the guy that does the Otis elevators. Ah, just think about, I just suddenly thought, Lord, I lift, you know. He must have got a lift. He must have been practicing for the rapture. Every time you get in an elevator, I say to myself, I'm practicing for the rapture. I'm getting lifted up. Something's lifting me. Something's combating gravity. I'm going to take off. I love elevators. I don't usually use them because I like to keep my legs fit. I use the stairs, but if I have to. And I love the ones that got a glass wall on the outside and you can see as you're going up. Who loves that? I always say to my kids, we're practicing for the rapture. That's what I say. Practicing for the rapture. And in this movie, The Revival, the Transformations by George Otis Jr., they talked about a place in South Africa when the church got together and started to pray and God poured out his spirit upon the church, you know, there were 5 prisons in that town and they all closed and one became a museum. Man, oh man, a museum. Wow. And I saw this and you'd have to see the video to get to grips with just how amazing it is when God transforms his church. He transforms the world around us. And these guys were exporting carrots that quite seriously are the size of my forearm. Cubit. I think they didn't call them carrots anymore. They called them cubits. That's my joke. They're not part of the story. But you see, when God touches us, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. See, Australia doesn't need to depend on any foreign power for its source of income. It depends on the Lord God Almighty. Something's going to happen in Australia that's going to give us more income than our coal. Going to give us more income than our tourism. Going to give us more income than our mining. And that's the blessing of God. New things are going to happen in this country. It's not in my notes. New things are going to happen in this country because of the blessing of God in this country. Are you excited that our Prime Minister is a born-again Christian? Are you excited that he's filled with the Holy Spirit and he joins online prayer meetings in the morning? And I friended him on Facebook. And he hasn't friended me yet. But I just love to listen to him talk. And I'm not saying that I'm whitewashing all his politics or his history or anything like that. I'm full of faults. But I love the man and he has a heart for God. And I love that. And I love that Australia is basically, even the non-believers are appreciating him, and he's got a high approval rate, perhaps the highest in history, except for perhaps Menzies and a couple of other people. Ezekiel 31:1. Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, how can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. And then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to come into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound. Behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone on its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy. Son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came on them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. Let us pray, and then we'll go through the scripture point by point. We'll bring out some things, and then we're going to go somewhere else, and then somewhere else again. But it's all going to come back to this point, keys of revival. You know, I'm calling them secrets of revival because a lot of us don't know them. But once we know them, the topic changes from secrets of revival to keys of revival. And when you've got keys, my friend, you can go places. Jesus said to Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you open will be open. What you shut shall be shut. It's up to you and me, my friend. You know, I love the word go. Someone said the word go this morning. So appropriate because that's in my text. I think my phone's going off. It's on silencer. Maybe I'll give it to Norm. Okay. If you've got keys in your hand today, then you need to use them. I give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you open on earth shall be opened in heaven. What you shut on earth shall be shut in heaven. When you've got keys, use them. Use your keys, please. You've got your remote. That's like prayer. Sometimes you don't have to touch a place to be in it. See, I just point to Norm and his arms go up. Hallelujah. Use your remote. Use your prayer life. Use your vocal cords. Hallelujah. We'll get to that in a minute. So let's pray. Oh God, Lord God Almighty in heaven, sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, we're going to ask you today to do something. We're going to ask you today to do something mighty. We're going to ask you today to start from us today in this place today, Lord God, that you would cause a mighty revival to sweep through Australia, that it would be greater than anything that we've seen before, greater than the 1800s and greater than the 1900s and greater than the 1950s and the 1980s, Lord. It would be the 2010s revival, the 2020s revival. We issue in the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our generation, we pray, use us, Lord. Here I am, send me, Lord. In Jesus' name, sweep through this place by the wind of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Sweep through this city by the wind of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Sweep through my family in the name of Jesus by the wind of your Holy Spirit. Transform this nation into the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Who's with me? Hallelujah. Australia for Jesus. Don't get negative, my friend. Don't get negative. Don't get negative. I said to my friend once, my friend said to me, I don't believe that. And I said, can you be more positive? And he said, yeah, I positively don't believe that. So it's not kind of the positivity I'm wanting you to have. I promised myself I'm not going to tell any funny jokes today because it's a serious issue. I know, four. She's counting. If I get to five, give me a T. Ezekiel 37:1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley full of dry bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. They were very dry. And he said, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Lord, you know. The first thing that God does to Ezekiel is to open his eyes to the condition of Israel. If Ezekiel can't see the condition of Israel, he can't hear God's answer for Israel. When Jesus in Matthew 9, he says that he opened his eyes, and when he saw the multitude, he had compassion on them. You've got to have your eyes open for your heart to be moved. And when your heart is moved, then God will speak to you his word and empower you to reach that multitude that you're concerned for. Who's concerned for the multitude in Brisbane today? Who's concerned for the multitude in Australia today? Then I'll be praying for the rest of you. Please let your heart be moved by the Spirit of God. Please open your eyes to the needs of this world. And God may just cause you to be a catalyst, to do something about it, to change the world. Amen? In Nehemiah 2, 12 to 15, Nehemiah, if you want to read a book this coming week about revival, you're just thinking, I wish I could refresh some of the things Pastor Chris said on Sunday on revival. I challenge you, read the book of Nehemiah. Read a chapter a day or two chapters a day, and you'll be finished by next Saturday. Listen, Nehemiah is a key book on revival. And we're going to quote from revival from Nehemiah today. Nehemiah 2:12. I arose at night and a few men were with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me but the one on which I rode. And I went up by night by the valley and inspected the wall. And I turned back and entered the valley gate and so returned. And we can call this prayer walking or spiritual mapping. I have a couple of stories about that in a minute that will encourage you. And he said to me, prophesy over these bones, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to come on you and enter you. There's no situation that we can find ourselves in today that God cannot redeem and revive. There is nothing that God can't do. The Spirit of God can bring life into every family, into every situation, into every church, into every city, into every nation. Amen? There's nothing that God can't do. We must believe that he can do it. And then know that he wants to do it. And that he will do it in our life. See, that's where theory comes in to experience. Believing God can do something. You know, every Christian believes that God can heal. But when they believe that God wants to heal and then decide that God will heal, aha, that's where the shift comes. That's where the shift comes. And we want a shift. I believe that God can reveal. I believe that God can revive. I believe that God wants to revive. And we got a shift now. I know God will revive. Are you with me? I know God will revive. Speak into that situation. You know, Genesis 1:1-3, the first passage in the Bible, contains an incredible truth about speaking into situations. It goes something like this. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. See, the Holy Spirit, the Father God was there creating the heaven. The Spirit was moving. The Son was there. But until the Son spoke the word, light be. He addressed the light that was not and said, light be. Be light. And the light was. And you've got to speak into the situation that you're believing God for. Don't just believe in your head and your heart. Open your mouth and say it. This word shall not depart from your mouth, it says in Joshua. Then you will have good success. The word must be in your heart and in your mouth. Speak it out if you believe it. Speak into the situation. I tell you something just happened Friday night at Ashgrove. I got there. I was not even early. It was just on time. And I went upstairs and it was the weirdest thing. It was totally empty. There's a table set up with about 12 chairs. We just leave it set up. It's like our mini church up there. And there's no lights in the socket. You see, the lights used to go on by motion sensors. And Katie would be waving a empty milk bottle or something all hour long to keep the lights going on. So we asked the owner to change it to where it wasn't like that anymore. So now they're on all the time. But to save electricity, they remove the bulbs. So it's the funniest thing. It's just like comedy of errors, you know. So I go out the kitchen. I took one light bulb. I have to take one from the room that there's two. Because otherwise, you know, I'm a visitor. I don't live there. And I put it in and nothing happened. And I went and put it in the other end nothing happened. And I went and put it in the other end, and then I start looking. If there were a switch, it would be there, and I uncovered it. There's nothing, because it's a motion sensor light that's been triggered to be on all the time. And then suddenly, Simi was there with Doreen, and Simi just said, "Lord, let there be light." And I heard a click. I heard a click, and the light went on. And the light went on, my friend, because she believed it, and she spoke it. "Lord, let there be light." Now, you can argue in your mind and think there was some physical thing going on, and it would have happened anyway. But we were there, and we saw it, and we gave God the glory, because it was a small miracle. Hallelujah. God is good, and God will do that. Do you experience designer weather? I experience designer weather. You know, the forecast guy, you know, I like to look at the forecast to see what is going to happen, not so I can be restricted by it, but so I can pray to change it. There's been so many times when my physical mind, if I had trusted the forecast guy, and you know, they got scientific instruments they use, it's not guesswork. And he says, you know, don't drive to the Gold Coast today because there's going to be severe wind causing flooding and giant hailstorms. And I'm like, not on my watch. There's going to be a blue sky with white fluffy clouds and it's going to be sun. It's going to be a cool breeze. And I get up in the morning and guess what? There's a blue sky with white fluffy clouds and the sun shining and there's a cool breeze. Designer weather, my friend. James 5, if you want a scriptural basis. Hallelujah. So you remember that. And the Lord said then, this is what the Lord said to Ezekiel, "I will lay sinews upon you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord." You know, I've read this passage innumerable times. It's a favorite passage. It's concerning revival. But I have never realized before that there wasn't just bones and spirit in this. That's the way I've always read it. But he says something else would happen, sinews, flesh and skin. And before the spirit came, the sinews, flesh and skin, I'm almost always saying sin, came upon the bones before the Lord breathed the spirit into them. And I believe that there needs to be an infrastructure in our church that's expectant to the coming revival. Are you with me? There needs to be an infrastructure. You know, they say the fastest growing suburb in Australia is Pimpama. And I've been out there. And the amazing thing is, you know, you can't just go and plonk a development, housing development in the middle of the jungle. You have to, some countries do that I've been in previously. Infrastructure comes later and sometimes you have to pay for it. But the government needs to approve it. And then what they do is they make sure there's roads, water, sewage, electricity, phone lines, shops, schools, healthcare, etc. There's probably a couple more to make it up to a good 10 or a dozen. And that's what our church needs to do. If we want to see the Spirit of God breathe, and I'm not saying people here are dead. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I'm sitting in a valley of dry bones. I'm not. But I think we're on the cusp. We're on the verge. We're on the tipping point. We're on the critical mass of the continuum towards revival. And we need to make sure that the infrastructure is in place, that the sinew and the muscles, doesn't mention muscles, but I bought mine anyway just to show you, and the sinews and flesh, someone said, where is it? Covered with skin. And you see, that has to be there. Is everyone getting what I'm saying? That God requires us to make, for example, Kylie, so you're going to have a baby. And I'm sure you've done some preparation, you know, maybe you've done it so many times, you're ready. But the first time would have been, you know, it would have been really big because you need infrastructure. You start thinking, well, the baby needs its own room. It needs its nursery. It needs to be pink, no blue. Pink, no blue. And then let's do white with fluffy clouds. Let's do blue with white fluffy clouds. And you need a cot or a crib or a cradle. And you need all these things. And, you know, our first baby, we wanted to be perfect. They had things hanging from the ceiling and twist. You know, I had mobiles, I think they're called. But you see, that in the logical human sense is what a parent does when they know they're going to have a baby and they start to pick out clothes. Now you can know the gender of your child before it's born through ultrasound. But before, people would just buy white stuff for the first few weeks because they didn't know if they needed blue or pink, right? Some of you are old enough to know what I'm talking about. So you don't go with white. It's always safe. So I prophesied as was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I could hear a bit of a rattling this morning, could you? I could hear there was something shaking in the spirit. There was something breaking through, and God's saying, look, I'm going to give you a taste of what's to come, but it's a taste. And you can't drum it up. I mean, I don't want people to drum it up and to pretend to have revival and say, I read in a book, if you fall on the floor and laugh, it's a sign of revival. It's not. It might happen, but it's not. You can't drum it up. You know what I'm saying? I want to come from God. I want to come from the Spirit of God, moving among His people as we have prepared as we can, acknowledging our faults, acknowledging our weaknesses, realizing, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit like Ezekiel, like John, like Paul, but I acknowledge my weakness and I want to just say, Lord, come in. I'm going to have my skin and my sinews and my, there's three things there, I always forget one of them, flesh. And I'm going to be ready for when the Spirit of God comes, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to not be surprised. I'm going to be in awe. I'm going to be in wonder about it, in excitement and amazing about it. But I'm not surprised because today I prayed. And when I prayed, I believed. And when I believed, I received. And I will see what I prayed for. Amen? You with me? Hallelujah. He said, prophesy to the breath and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. We need the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow upon our lives. We do. And He is, and I'm not saying He's not. Please don't misunderstand me. As I said before, I don't think we're in a valley of dry bones without the Spirit of God. But I believe there's more. I believe there's more. So I prophesied, and the breath came in them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. I get excited when I hear that word, exceeding great army. Who's excited about that? Exceeding great army from what looked like death, from what looked like defeat. You know, there's a lot of D words, and most of them are bad. Depression, discouragement, despondency, despair. But God can change them all into positive things, amen? Encouragement. Disappointments are changed into appointments. When God's Holy Spirit comes upon your disappointment, it's going to be an appointment. You're going to meet the majesty of the sovereign Lord. I love this song by Hillsong. It's called Hosanna. Bear with me. I'll sing a couple of verses. Stop heckling, Norm. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we pray and seek. We're on our knees, on our knees. Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As we walk from earth into eternity. That, my friend, now you know why I'm not on the worship team. But that, my friend, is prophetic. Every time I hear that song, my hair goes up on my arms. That's prophetic. You can say what you like about Hillsong or Hillsong Church or Hillsong Music, but I tell you, there's an anointing on that church of prophetic worship. And that's why God's blessed them, because they worship the Lord. They don't do concerts to appeal to the word or try to sell records on the crossover market. But they worship God and they get gold anyway. They worship God and get platinum anyway. And I'm not glorifying them. I'm just saying it's a move of the Spirit of God that's in this great Southland of the Holy Spirit in our generation. It's an anointing and it's a message. And there's many more of their songs that have that message. And I love to sing them nearly every week. You can't get me off the page. Like a rushing wind, I surrender. That song, man, that moves me, because I want that rushing wind to come into my life. As I surrender to Jesus, it's a prophetic song. Prophetic. We need the prophetic. We're tired of the pathetic. Give me the prophetic. Amen? Just add an R and change it. Everything you think something's pathetic, make it prophetic. Talk to it. Drive it away. And now we're going to zoom in to the eight keys of revival. Are you ready? You got your keys ready? I've only got three. I'm going to add five, and I'm going to use them all by God's grace. And for His glory, I've got three. You can't see the other one. You have to trust me. It's in there somewhere. You know what I mean? That one. Yeah. That's it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the key of revival, the first key we're going to look at is called humility. Humility is the soil from which all graces grow. Humility is the starting place of revival, because humility is the ability to see ourselves and to acknowledge our faults and therefore give God a place to come in and change what needs to be changed. In Nehemiah 9, 1-3, it says, on the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and putting dust on their heads. Those of Israelites descended had separated from the foreigners, and they stood in their place and confessed their sins and the sins of their ancestors. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law for a quarter of the day and spent the other quarter in confession and worshiping the Lord our God. Now, I love what happened this morning. People came forward and stood, but they didn't just speak about the victory. They spoke about weakness in their life. They spoke about needing a house. They spoke about a mended car, and they spoke about something else. But I believe as revival sweeps, one thing that happens is spontaneous confession. And it can be embarrassing sometimes to people to have people come up and confess their sin. But when the Spirit of God comes, conviction comes. And when conviction comes, repentance comes. When repentance comes, confession comes. If you want to raise animals, you might have to work in a dirty barn. And sometimes some things are going to happen that are going to feel a little bit uncomfortable. But trust God, because he's in control. And trust your pastors, because things get out of control, they'll rein it in. But better wildfire than no fire. Amen? That's what Corinthians 12 to 14 is about. They were having wildfire, but God wanted the fire. He just wanted it to be orderly. Don't focus on the orderly. We've got enough of them in the world. Focus on the fire. Focus on the giver of the fire. One of revival's keys is that there's a focus on Jesus. Not a focus on the Holy Spirit or the gifts, but a focus on Jesus. Jesus is the author of life. Jesus is the founder of the church. Jesus is his sole point. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Another key point of revival is in this verse. Again, it's humility. 2 Chronicles 7:13. When I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, I command the locusts to devour the land, send pestilence among my people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We want the healing, but sometimes we need the humility first. We humble ourselves and confess our sins. A byproduct of revival is societal transformation. We talked about that before with the cubit carrots. I've seen a man, and you know, the people in that town were poor, but they ended up riding out of town with those carrots in brand new Mercedes trucks. And people came from America, from some of the key agricultural universities, to study that city. They thought it was the soil. My hair's standing up. They thought it was the soil, but it wasn't. It was the presence of God in his people that transformed the very dirt upon which they stood. And that city boomed. God is doing that, my friend. That is the secret. God is doing it. This is a quote from William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. While women weep, as they do now, I will fight. While little children go hungry, as they do now, I will fight. While men go to prison in and out, as they do now, I will fight. While there's one drunkard left, while there's one poor girl lost on the street, while there remains one dark soul without the very light of God, I will fight, and I will fight to the very end. We need that heart today, my friend. God used a man like William Booth. When he started this, their centers were burnt down in London by people who were against them. But he went to stand before kings and presidents that blessed him. Stay the course, as someone said, endure. That was another message this morning. Endure, stay the course, my friend. You will stand before presidents and kings. Not because you are great, but because you have a great God that wants them to know how to enter his kingdom. Are you ready, my friend? Be ready. Be ready. God wants to use you. Amen. What's the first key of revival? Humility. The second key, you need to do spiritual research. You know, some people say, oh, it's not good to talk about the devil, you know. But, you know, if you were a military man, if you were Winston Churchill, you want to know everything you could about Adolf Hitler, because if you didn't, there was no way you would overcome him. And that's the same thing. We need to be not ignorant of the devil's devices. And this prayer walking in Nehemiah 2:12, we looked at it already. I rose by night with a few men with me, and I told no one. God had put it in my heart to do. I went by night to the valley gate. I went by night to the valley and inspected the wall. And the officials didn't know where I'd gone or what I was doing. I'd not yet told the Jews or the priests or the nobles and the rest. Prayer walking, spiritual mapping. Now, I'll tell you a couple of quick stories from China. My wife and I were in China for 20 years. Exciting, my friend, exciting. Oh, wow, 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 wow. I'm still in China in my heart. I love China so much. I love Australia too. Don't worry. And we used to prayer walk in the morning at 5 a.m. around all the blocks. We'd go on a different block every day. You know, within 2 years, we'd planted a church there, and people from those blocks were in our church. 70 to 80% of the 125 people that came in our church in the first year were from the very blocks that we prayer walked. And I wonder if we'd cast a greater net, if we'd walked a little further, if there could have been more change. Why don't you do that in your area? Would you? Who wants to give it a dare? Raise a hand. Just start by walking around your house and then walking around a block. You know, there's a lot of side streets. Just do a different one every day. I talked about this, and I'll admit my failure. I should have done this a year ago when I moved into my house. I said to my wife that we would do it, but we didn't. And I sometimes do it as I'm cycling. But you see, the Bible says where you set your foot will be given to you by an everlasting inheritance. And there's something about you praying and just speaking over that house. Say, I don't know who lives here, Lord, but I take authority over the demons in this house. And I pray the veil would be taken down from the eyes of the people in this house. So if they hear the gospel from me or from someone else that will receive Jesus, they'll repent, they'll be transformed, they'll be set free, and they'll be blessed. A little bit like the blessings course, right? Speaking blessing over them, but be specific about what you want to see. And we saw, and literally in every sub, most of China is subdivided into these little subdivisions, Americans call them. They're walled gated communities is the word. And a lot of it's for protection, a lot of it's private owned. But everyone that I could think of in my mind now had a house church. Either connected with our church or another. They had a house church or a cell group or even a couple of two or three Bible colleges. In the building we had our church, there were two churches that met. There used to be a third, but it moved out and got a bigger place because we were prayer walking. I'm not saying it happened because of our prayers, but I tell you what, our prayers didn't hinder it. I definitely helped it. They definitely got the devil on the run. Send him, I don't care where he goes, but it's not going to be where I live. Amen? Hallelujah. A second story is regarding Tibet. We went to Tibet. I think some of you have heard this before. I'll go through it quickly. We were guests of the mayor. So we couldn't really openly evangelize, except that they kind of knew. One, the deputy mayor stood up and he said, 50 years ago, American, New Zealand, and Australian missionaries came to this town. They built an orphanage, a school, a hospital. They brought walnuts and apple trees. They knew what he said. And nothing good has happened here since they left. My goodness. This is a Communist Party member. He's virtually saying, can you guys bring revival back to my city? We're missing God. We saw the tombs of the martyrs in that city. The tombs of the martyrs. We saw the gravestone of the martyrs that died for their faith in that city. So we went out the next day. And I said to my friend, look, I believe God has spoken through this man and given us a mandate to preach in this city. He says, oh, we got to be careful. We're living in the mayor's guest house. And I said, yeah, I know that. But God has given us a commission, and I want to do it. And I thought, let's go prayer walking tomorrow morning. So we went out prayer walking, and it was drizzling rain. It was drizzling rain. And I said, I don't care. We're going to split into pairs, and we're going to prayer walk. And so my friend and I, we walked across this bridge. And we're walking across this bridge. This is the weirdest thing in Tibet. A lady does this to us. I mean, it's impolite for me to do that in public, pardon me. But I said to my friend, what's happening? She said, she wants you to show her tongue. I said, why? She said, because if it's purple, you're a demon. So it's their way of checking, are you a demon? If you answer and your tongue is pink, you're okay. Isn't that something? These people believe in the spirit world. And so I went up the hill and it was still raining. I walked into a shop and I asked someone, I just want to get on the God conversation. I asked the lady, is there a church in the street? It was weird. I know this not. This is Tibet. This is communist China. There's an apple orchard up the street. She said, no, but there used to be just up there on the left. So my hair stood up again. And I went up there on the hill, and suddenly the sun broke through. And it was on a doorway, and there was grapevines in the doorway. And there was two kids in the doorway just smiling at us. And I thought, this is a sign from God. And I walked back down the hill and to the bridge again, and I saw a man crouched under a pine tree to shelter from the rain. And I walked up to him and said, hey, I spoke to him in Chinese. I said, hey, are you from here? And he said, I'm sorry, I can't speak Chinese. I said, oh. And I said, really? He said, yeah, I'm Tibetan. I said, well, from here? He said, yeah, but I don't speak Chinese. I said, okay, you speak English and in Tibetan. And he'd been a student of the Dalai Lama in India. I said, oh, the Dalai Lama, I know who that is. He said, are you a Buddhist? I said, no, I'm a Christian. He said, do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? He's a lama, a monk, a student of the Dalai Lama. And he asked me for a Bible. I said, I got one Bible in Tibetan. I'll give it to you tomorrow morning. He said, where will we meet? I said, if God wants us to meet, we will meet. That was my answer to him. Because I couldn't tell him with his attitude, with his, you know, crossing the border on the foot without a visa. I don't know. He might have been on run from the law. He could have gotten the mayor into trouble. So I just said, if it's God's will, we'll meet tomorrow morning. So the next morning, I walked out of the mayor's guest house, and standing on the corner of the bakery, there was my friend. And I gave him the Bible, and I showed him the sinner's prayer. 3 months later, I met my friend. I moved back to that area, and he was sitting in the pagoda in front of my friend's new apartment. And I said to him, how are you? Did you pray that prayer? He said, I pray it every day. I said, oh, wow. And I explained to him the path of salvation. If you receive Jesus, you have eternal life, etc. And then this guy kept coming up in conversation. There was a guy came to a town. He heard about this because so few people get saved in Tibet, especially lamas. A Korean missionary from Chengdu came up to the city, and he was looking for this guy all day long because he'd heard this monk came to Christ. And so he went in the noodle shop, you know, just before he got in a bus. And my friend went up to him and said, oh, what are you doing here? He said, I'm looking for my friend. He said, what's your name? And he said, Geseng Sarang. He said, that's me. What do you need me for? He said, you're coming back to Chengdu with me to study the Bible. He said, okay, when do we go? He said, I got two tickets for the bus now. And he went back. And this is real, my friend. I don't make these things up. This is like it's from a book. Maybe I should write that book. But cut a long story short, there was a guy in that town they called the Playboy Monk. He would do his monk thing in the morning, go collecting money. Then he'd go to a nightclub and get drunk and sleep with the girls. His name was the Playboy Monk. And I heard there's a Playboy Monk that got saved and become a Christian. And someone said, how did that happen? He said, Geseng Tsarang. That was my friend's name. I call him George for short. So if I say George, you know who it is. George won 70 other lamas to Christ and planted 2 churches. And his brother is shepherding them now. God is good, my friend. It starts with a prayer walk. That is a single, most outstanding revival in recent Tibetan history. It is, because I know people who worked there for years, 20 years, without a convert. But you see, when you do what God tells you to do, when you do it according to the pattern in the Bible, and prayer walking, spiritual mapping is biblical. It may not be put in those words, but it's biblical. When you do it, God's going to move. God, you'll have a story like that, my friend, to tell. Graham's got heaps of them. We who serve God, we have heaps of them. Okay, 1, humility, 2. Yeah, research, good, very good. Research, otherwise known as prayer walking or spiritual mapping. 3, good, we haven't got to 3rd yet. Vision, oh, good, Nom. Woo, you're ahead of me, Nom. Habakkuk 2:1. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and will answer me concerning my complaint. And the Lord said, write the vision, make it plain on tables so he that runs may read it. For still the vision awaits an appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Now, this church has a vision. I know it's stated somewhere. I think I'd like to have it so I can remind everyone of it. But if you don't have that vision, just make the Great Commission your vision. Make disciples of all nations, and then the end will come. Preach the gospel to all creatures. That can be my vision. I want to make disciples from all nations. I want to teach them everything that Jesus has commanded me. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. The Great Commission is my vision. We can make that our vision. But make it clear. Proverbs 29, 18 said, where there's no vision, the people perish, but blessed or prosperous is he that keeps the law. No vision is perish. Vision is flourish. What do you want to do? Flourish or perish? I want to flourish. Hallelujah. So we'll have a vision. In Acts 2:1, the fourth key of revival. Is it there yet? Unity. Good, Norm. Unity. Norm's my backup today. Assistant. I know, but it's a help. The fourth key to revival is unity. Now, unity is an incredible thing. When, you know, when the children of man built the Tower of Babel, and God said something very interesting. He said, now they are united with one nation and one cause. There is nothing that shall not be possible for them. God said that to the wicked. There's a power in unity that is in and of itself powerful, even if not godly. And I just point that out to think, how much more if godly? If God gets into that unity, if he's there in the midst of us, how much more powerful is a unity based on the will of God? The word I want to look at now is homothumadon. Now, homo is an interesting word because in Latin it means male, but in Greek it means same. So that may answer a question for some of you. But so homothumadon in Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together, homothumadon, in one place. And suddenly there was from heaven a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the place they were sitting, and there divided tongues of fire upon them and rested on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, don't be afraid of tongues. Something has happened in the Pentecostal movement throughout the world towards seeker sensitivity. We're afraid that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are going to repel the non-believer. But they didn't in this chapter. When this happened, 3,000 people repented and got baptized and continued in the faith. Don't be afraid of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit as if that's going to turn people against God. It's not. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When people get up and speak out of their heart what God is telling them in the church, I'm really encouraged every single time. Even if that prophecy doesn't really resonate with me personally, sometimes you feel like that's for someone else, but it's always for me in a general sense. But I'm just rejoicing because the spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus. It's proof that he's present. And if you're singing and you start to sing in tongues, don't worry about the person next to you giving you a funny look. Because the Bible says it only needs to be translated if it's a prophetic word. But if it's prayer, it doesn't, because you're speaking to God. They could be in Pakistan and speaking in Urdu for, you know, it doesn't matter. They don't have to translate because they're talking to God, not you. It's the same. Don't be afraid in church to speak in tongues. If the Spirit is leading you, don't be too seeker sensitive. I believe in seeker sensitivity, but I believe in balance. I believe in a balance. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't forbid to speak in tongues. Otherwise, we're not Pentecostal anymore. I mean, not biblically Christian should be the word. We're not biblically Christian anymore. It's important enough to be mentioned 27 times in the New Testament. Don't quench it. Hallelujah. So they were together in one place. But you see, when they had this homothumadon, in literally Greek, it means they had one breathing. They were breathing together. Their hearts were so united that they were breathing together. Homo means same. Thumadon means breath. They had the same breath. And that means literally, but as a transposition of the word, it means they had a unity of passion. Do you have a unity of passion? Do we have a unity of passion? I know Oscar and Barry and I have a unity of passion when we go out on every Friday and we go and give the food to the people in the shelters, 200 or 300 boxes every Friday. My feet are itchy. I want February to come on. What about you, John? I want February to come on so we can go deliver that food. We have got a unity of purpose. When the people are in the kitchen with Norm, they got a unity of purpose. They're going to cook that food, not for money, not for pleasure, not for salary, but to reach the people of Brisbane with the love of God. When we had that unity, God himself said, nothing will now be impossible for them. Amen. Nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. I like to say that to a friend next to me. Nothing will be impossible for you. Look at your friend and say, nothing will be impossible for you. A lot of you are shy. Look at yourself in the iPhone and say, nothing will be impossible for me. Homothumadon. It's again in Acts 1:14 before this. My wife's telling me time's up, so I'm going to skim through this because I don't want to miss it. I'm going to go over it a little bit less deeply than I want to originally, but I want to cover it because I believe it's important, very important. how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together. It's like the oil that descended upon the head, upon Aaron's head, that run down to the beard and the hem of his garment. It's like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded his blessing, even life forevermore. You see the continuum. What happens is when we're unified, a Holy Spirit comes. When the Holy Spirit comes, he anoints our voice and our steps. And eternal life is given upon the mountains of Brisbane. You get this? This is talking about revival. The outworking of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is brought upon by unity in the church is the salvation of the world around it. Even life forevermore. Hallelujah. On the mountains of Zion. Not inside the church, although it starts there, but in the world. The fifth key to revival is prayer. Amen? You got it? You knew what was coming. He's talking about all these other things. Where's the prayer? It's our favorite one, but I want to educate you on the other ones. If you just pray, you don't have unity, you don't have vision, you don't have spiritual mapping, then you're going to miss something. You're going to be asking God to do what he has asked you to do. And that's a mistake we can make. A prayer is a supplement to obedience, not a substitute for obedience. It says in Acts 4, I'm just going to summarize it. When they prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now we need that boldness. Some of us have misread it. We thought it said boldness. I don't need any more boldness. I've got too much. I don't want any more oldness. I've got too much of that. But I want more boldness. Amen? Bold. Be bold. And when you don't feel like being bold, be bold. Because it said preach the gospel in season and out of season. That means when you feel like it, when you don't. When it's raining and when it's sunny. When the surf's up and when the storm's up. Boldness. I want boldness. Amen? The next key is action. And this is where most of us fall down. We need an action. When we've studied these five things, if we have not done at least one of them, it's in one ear and out the other. But as I've said before, it needs to go in one ear and out the other foot. It needs to go into action. I need to do something about what I'm learning today. I want that room to be full of people. On Sunday morning before church, challenge yourself today. Do something today that you didn't do last week. Come half an hour early. Oh, that's not possible. I go to bed at 11:30. I get up at 8:45. I barely get to church at 9:30. Maybe just watch DVDs until 10:45 and give yourself that other half an hour to get in there and pray. Do something. Action. And your action can be a reaction. Listen to this. Acts 5:42. Daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The New Testament church was not a temple church. It wasn't a house church movement. It was a temple-based cell church movement. And that's what we need to be if we're truly biblical. As someone said before, if you're not in a connect group, join one. If you don't want to join a connect group, join an outreach group in one of the shelters. We'll help you. We'll help you. We need about 21 more, pushing 30, right, Oscar? We want to see that there's some action. Do one thing of these eight things. Do it today, do it tomorrow. Just get up half an hour earlier, walk around the block, and then come to church and pray. And when you're praying by yourself, I mean, some of you can't make it to this and that cell group or that and that church meeting. Get down on your knees and say, Lord, bring revival, bring revival, bring revival in Jesus' name. If no one else is available, use me to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Then inspiration. You know what inspiration means? In the Spirit is in you. Inspire, inspire. The Spirit is in you. That makes you inspired. You need enthusiasm. That's entheos. God is in you. Then you're enthusiastic. The Spirit is in you. Then you're inspired. That's what we need. It says in 2 Kings 19:30-31, the surviving remnant of the house of Judah will take root downward and bear fruit upward. Who wants to bear fruit? Be dedicated, committed to the service of this church in some way, in some ministry. I challenge you. It's 2021. 2020 gave us clear vision. Now act on the vision that God has given you. It says, for out of Jerusalem will go forth a remnant, out of the Mount Zion, a band of survivors. Remember that army? It says, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. On fire, be on fire for God. You know, I probably got it up there somewhere. I think I got it up there. But John Wesley said this. Someone said to him, how do you get the crowds? He said, I get on fire for God and the world comes out to see me burn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to know why Oscar always prays with people to receive Christ? Because he's on fire for God. He's not happy if they're not saved. And the more they get saved, the more happy he gets. It's kind of contagious, you know? And I want each of us to catch that contagion. And if you ain't got it and you're free Friday, come along, because we're going to share with you how. Amen? Get yourself equipped. Are you excited? Are you inspired? God's moving today and he's going to continue to move in our church and our Brisbane and our world. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. I once someone said to me in Beijing in a meeting of church leaders, they said, you know, the Bible's going to be banned in China. I said, no, it's going to be required curriculum in the high school. I'm going to decide on the future of my country, not the devil's people, not negativity. I don't care what the data says. I care what God says. I want the Bible to be required reading in every school in the world. I want prayer to be given its place in every parliament in the world, as it was before, when God blessed our great nation. And thank God it's still there in Australia, and fight for it to stay in, because it left America, and America has been falling ever since. Don't let the Ten Commandments and prayer be taken out of our schools. Don't let religious education be taken out of our schools. RI needs to be in every school in Australia. Thank God. The next key is administration. You know, just before George Whitefield died, he said, you know, when George Whitefield preached, he preached like me. He was animated, but people had a very placid response. But when John Wesley preached, he preached very stoically, but people would fall down crying. And George Whitefield said this before he died. He said, I have preached to more people and won more people to Christ, to Wesley, but Wesley has 10 million people following and I have none. And the reason is because of a lack of administration. Because there wasn't the infrastructure put in place to take care of the new converts. There was failure. There was atrophy. There was drifting away because the baby was not nurtured with the milk to grow. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I'll just say this. A summary again. These are summarizing. In Acts 19, Paul spoke to the people in Antioch, I believe it was, and 12 people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says this. It says, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily. See that word daily? In the temple, in the hall of Tyrannus. In other words, it was a school. This continued for 2 years, so all the residents of Asia heard the word of God, Jews and Greeks. Everyone in Turkey could hear the word of God when Paul was just in one place because he was teaching the incoming class the how-to about it, instructing him in all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. Make sure that you have a Paul in your life, and you have a Barnabas in your life, and you have a Timothy in your life. Make sure that you're ready to be replaced. Make sure that you're training up the next generation of people to do what it is that you're doing today, so you can either move on, or they can do what you do, and you can do something new. Make sure that you've got a Timothy in your life. That's where the administration comes in. Are we ready? The book of Acts, it ends. I'm going to end with this scripture. Acts 2, after those 3,000 people got saved, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer, and awe came on everyone, and signs and wonders were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things common, and they were selling their possessions and departing, distributing them to all men, and daily in the temple and breaking breads in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that would be saved. And I believe if we do these things, there's 8 things mentioned here. 8 things mentioned here. I believe if we do these things, and they're on the board, can you see them? If we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to communion and fellowship meals, and we're living in the fear of God and sharing and breaking breads in our homes and praising God, God is going to do these 3 things that we can't do. He's going to bring signs and wonders in. Who wants more signs and wonders? We're starting to see them. Signs and wonders. We will have favor with the people. The world can look upon us favorably. When we, like I said about William Booth, and the Lord added daily those who will be saved. Can we devote ourselves to the word of God, to fellowship? Can we devote ourselves to communion, to prayer, to the fear of God, giving generously, attending church and small groups? Always be positive and thankful because God wants to do miracles. God wants to give us favor and God wants to add to our church. And the book of Acts, it ends this. It says, Acts 6:7, the word of God continued and the disciples multiplied. Addition turns into multiplication. When the anointing of God comes in your life, the Lord multiplied, Acts 9:31, Acts 12:24, it multiplied. Now we're coming to the new year. Now let's just close our eyes for the minute. I want us to think of one thing. Paul says, forgetting that which is laying behind and reaching for that which is ahead, I reach for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 2020 was the best year. 2020 was the year that God gave us a clear vision. 2020 was the year when God showed that His church could not be shut down. It could go into homes. It could go into Zoom groups. God could use the internet to reach more people than would come to the door of the church. What do you want to leave behind in 2020? What are you sick of? The status quo. You don't want it to happen. I don't want that to be me. I want to reach forward for the new year. I want something new to happen. I want something to shift. I want to have a new story. But to have that new story, you got to have a vision. What do I want to see happen? And how am I going to do it? First step. Everyone think of that first step. Everyone think of one thing, just one thing. If it's 25, that's good. You can write them down so you don't forget them. But at least one thing that I want to do to shift my destiny. Because if I know my identity, I will find my destiny. Just think about that for 1 minute and I want to pray for you. In Jesus' name. It's okay, I'm talking to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus' name, oh Lord. Oh, I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. Hallelujah. Lord God, you've spoken to each and every heart today in a different way, in a tailor-made way, in an individualized way. You've spoken to every heart. I pray that we would have the grace of God in our lives today to leave behind what we don't want of the 2020, and we're reaching forward to 2021. It's a plus year. It's a plus year. Not a year of repetition, but a year of newness. And 21 means adulthood. We're going to be mature Christians this year. We're going to be adults, Lord. We're not going to be lambs anymore, even sheep anymore. We're going to be shepherds this year. We're going to care for someone this year. We're going to see the wind of God sweep through our church this year, through our family this year, through our city this year, through our nation this year, through our mission field this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now be serious with God, my people, please. When you go home, just write that thing down and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to do that. Whether it's just getting down on my knees and say, Lord, I don't really understand what Chris was talking about, but I kind of want to see revival, even though I don't know what it is. Lord, bring revival to Brisbane in Jesus' name. And make that your prayer every day. If you're walking on the street, if you're joining the early morning prayer meeting or connect group or outreach group,